for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, so 2022 is rapidly moving forward with great velocity, and it's already May as I record this, and wow, the year is going to be like half over here soon, and so much is happening in the world, and so much is continuing to lay the groundwork for Antichrist, as we've been talking about, Spirit of Antichrist, on this podcast here for a couple of weeks here, and I want to follow up by talking as well today about how the Spirit of Antichrist fleshes itself out in everyday life. I mean, how do you recognize it? And it's interesting, in 1 John 2:18, he says, "Children, it is the last hour." Now, let's just pull over and park for just a second and acknowledge something here. John wrote 1 John, we believe, around 90 AD, okay? And he is saying in this little epistle that he, in that day, is living in the last hour, that it is the last hour. Now, the last hour refers to the closing time of history. And people use the term the last hour, the last days, the end times. I mean, some of these terms bleed over onto each other. The last days, I think, refer to the very last days of planet Earth, the tribulation period, the end times. I think maybe it are a little bit broader term that include like the times we're living in plus. But John says here, the last hour. So if we're doing just this chronological metaphor here, if it's the last hour in the first century, what is it now? If an hour is 60 minutes and there's only 1 hour left, then what is it right now? Where are we? Are we, surely we're not the half hour point, 45 minute point, 50, 59? Is it the last minute? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that it's very late. It's not early in the last hour. It's late in the last hour because of everything that we're seeing happening in the world. Then he says, "And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming," so they've already heard that Antichrist is coming. So that presupposes someone has told them about Antichrist. And that obviously presupposes that teaching about Antichrist was a part of the early church. That this is not, this whole idea of talking about the end times and the last days and Bible prophecy as it relates to Revelation and all this, this is not new stuff. It was there in the first century. Now, Revelation had not been written yet as of this writing, but you still had Daniel. You still had Paul and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, right? And, you know, Peter is writing. Peter actually wrote 25 to 30 years before this little epistle of 1 John. So you've got all this teaching about the end time. So within that is teaching about Antichrist. Now look, this is what this shows, is that regardless of what specific position that, let's just say, a pastor takes on eschatology, let's just say he believes in the mid-trib view, okay? And he believes that Christians are going to be raptured in the middle of the tribulation. Or he has a pre-wrath view, which says that Christians will be raptured about 5/6 into the tribulation period. Regardless of what view you have, or even if you take an amillennial view, you still got to preach the Bible, my friend. You don't get to pick and choose on what you preach. So if you're going through 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you got to deal with these things. And they're either real or they're not real. Okay? So here's the point. The point is that it is not only appropriate that pastors preach about Antichrist. It's mandated by Scripture. And it's mandated that, Christians study it, okay? Regardless of whether or not the pastor covers it, you are obligated to study because it's in your Bible. And that's what people ask me. They say, well, why talk about Antichrist? Simple answer, it's in the Bible. And it says that he's coming right here in this passage. Antichrist is coming. I mean, how do you get any more blunt than that, right? Okay, so watch. He goes on to say, even now, many antichrists have arisen. From this, we know that it is the last hour. So one of the telltale signs that we are living in the last hour of history is that many antichrist-like figures arise. People that are against Christ publicly. People that deny that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That is an antichrist-like figure. And we have them today in the role of presidents, premiers, prime ministers, popes. Even popes don't believe the whole Bible. These popes that have recently been in charge, the guys wearing the religious outfits, and claim to speak for God, they deny the things that Jesus said in the Bible, in the New Testament. So they are of the spirit of Antichrist as well. But we know that these Antichrist-like figures are a sign of the last times. And where do they come from? They don't just come from the world. It says in verse 19, they went out from, this is 1 John 2, by the way, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. In other words, they were not genuinely converted, although they were a part of or associated themselves with the religion called Christianity. They were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. And what that means is not just remained as members of the church. He's talking about remaining as a part of the Christian faith. They would have not have denied the faith like they have by talking this nonsense about Christ not being God. He says, but they went out in order that it may be shown that they all are not of us. Now, I've told you, we talked about before about this anointing in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. And that anointing is basically the Holy Spirit inside of us testifying to us that these people are demonic, are wrong in their theology about Jesus. And we can intuitively know that, okay, through the Holy Spirit. That there is a subjective element to that. But he goes on to talk about who is the liar, but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. So the Antichrist is going to take the Judeo-Christian God concept, okay, that there's the Father, there's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here specifically, he's saying he's going to deny that the Father is God. He's going to deny that the person, the deity, the entity that we claim to be God is God. And of course, Jesus Christ can't be God. Now, Islam does that. All really world religions deny that Jesus is the Christ. And the spirit of Antichrist is even prevalent within Judaism in that they reject the Christ. They don't claim that Jesus has come in the flesh. Now, they believe a Messiah is coming, but they rejected the Messiah. And that's one of the reasons why I believe Israel is going to be so easily deceived by the Antichrist is because they did not recognize the Christ when he appeared on the scene. So you move over to chapter 4, and he tells us to test the spirits because every spirit that does not confess Jesus is God, this is the spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. Of which you have heard, Antichrist, that it is coming, the Spirit is coming, and now it is already in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world in the first century. The Antichrist-like figures are already in the world in the first century. And he says here, the spirit of Antichrist, here's the deal. Every teaching comes from a spirit. Every truth-telling or supposed truth-telling or people sharing doctrines and principles and beliefs, that comes from a spirit. There's a source from every kind of teaching. And that source either comes from a person themselves, it comes from the world, it comes from Satan and or his demons, and it comes from God. Now, I'm not aware of another source of teaching. If there is, feel free to share it, but I'm not aware of it right now. So you've got the world, self, Satan, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the only four sources of teaching. And when you and I are listening to someone teach, and we're discerning, is this the spirit of Antichrist? You know, part of it is, where's the source? Can we trace back the teaching to a source? And this is where it gets tricky, my friend, because one of the characteristics about Satan and about Antichrist is that he is a master deceiver. So you'll have some of these preachers, some of these very well-known preachers who are basically preaching a God of their own making. It's all about self-exaltation. Self-exaltation. That is the spirit of Antichrist, my friend. Any pastor or teacher or blogger or writer or podcaster or what author, whatever, that is teaching self-exaltation. In other words, just you be a better self. Better self, better self, better self. That is the spirit of Antichrist, because that's the original garden lie in Genesis 3. You shall be as gods. All Satan wants you to do, this is the bait, it's the hook, it's the line, it's everything that he uses to reel people in. All Satan wants you to do is to love yourself, be good to yourself, and to make yourself happy. And whatever makes you happy is your truth. Whatever makes you happy is what you should pursue. That's the message of these people. And people end up just feeling better about themselves. Look, when I read the Bible, I don't really feel better about myself. I feel challenged. Now, I'm not like beating myself up all the time. It's not that. But it is properly looking at myself and understanding that the point of me studying my Bible or getting to know Jesus is not just so I can be a happier me, it's so that I can be a better servant of Him. And guess what? In order to be a better servant of Christ, what has to happen to self? It has to be dethroned. Myself has to be off the throne of my heart. Christ has to be on the throne. I'm serving the one on the throne. Whoever's on the throne of our hearts is the one we serve. Whoever is on the throne, sitting, reigning, ruling, directing, advising, counseling, making decisions, whoever that thing is on the throne of our hearts and our minds, that's our God. And the spirit of Antichrist wants you to be on your throne, and here's why. The reason why the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, Satan, wants you to feel like you're in charge of your life is because he knows that that feeds the sin nature like nothing else. That is the sin nature's favorite meal, to be fed this diet of you're enough, you're worthy, you don't need any change in your life. That spirit of Antichrist, my friend. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to die to yourself. Die to that old self. And I will birth within you a new self. And we pursue Christ. Christ is our aim, not ourself. We don't preach ourselves. We are not the heroes of the story. Jesus is. And that is really part of the spirit of Antichrist. And, you know, John even went into that in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. He's saying, look, if something just feeds your sinful flesh. It's something that the flesh desires, and you package it in a religious Christian package and you consume it. He said, that's of the world. That's not of God. The things that our eyes lust after and want in life, the envy and the jealousy and the greed and the lust, that's not of the Father. It says it's of the world. And that means we're loving the world when we accept the world's philosophies about life, love, family, self, sex, everything. And that's easy, by the way, to fall into that. But watch this. He says, that kind of love is not from the Father, it's from the world. And just to remind you, he says in verse 17, and the world is passing away along with all of its desires and lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. I mean, can you imagine like being on the Titanic or being on a doomed airliner or something, and you know that it's going to crash, but you got on it anyway, even though you knew it was going to go down? Why would you do that? Now, if you go back in time, you had a ticket on the Titanic, would you just go, hey, I'm going to catch the next, you know, cruise ship to America. I'm going to pass on this one. If you really knew that, right? If you could know that. Well, guess what? God's given us a heads up on the fact that this world's the Titanic. And we've already struck the icebergs, by the way. There's no future doom. We're in the middle of it right now. And so God wants us to say, hey, so don't like bring all of your worldly possessions and put them on the Titanic. Don't bring all of your desires, all of your the things that please you in life, and put them on this ship that's going to go down. And part of the reason that people do that is because they're listening to the spirit of Antichrist. Oh, by the way, it says here in 1 John 2:18, you know that Antichrist is coming. And I got asked this question on a radio show here last week. It said, Jeff, do you think Antichrist could be alive today? That's a big question I get a lot. Here's my answer. Yes. Yes, I do. But I don't say that glibly or lightly or without thought. Do the math. Let's say that the rapture of the church, which will precede the revelation of Antichrist, it'll precede the revealing of who the Antichrist is. Let's say the rapture of the church is still 40 years out. Okay? So, do the math on how old you are right now. Let's say it's 40 years away. The rapture's, we could know for a fact, we can't, but we know for a fact that rapture's 40 years away. That means Antichrist still has to be alive right now. Because whoever takes over the multinational alliance, 10-nation confederation that will rule the world in the last days is not going to be 5 years old. They're going to have some sort of political clout and stature. They're not going to be 19. So even if the rapture is 40 years away, presumably the leader of the world has to be, you know, in his 30s or 40s. He has to be alive today. If it's 40 years away, it could be 2 years away. Then he's definitely alive, right? If it's 20 years away, the Antichrist is alive today. So I believe the Antichrist is alive today, given the fact that I believe the rapture is going to take place at some point in within 40 years, you know? And here's another thing, too. Satan doesn't know God's timetable. He has no idea when God is going to allow him to do the things he's been planning to do. And so, therefore, he presumably has to have an Antichrist candidate being groomed for every generation. At any point in history, Satan has to have an ongoing candidate that he has groomed, someone that he has an open door in that person's mind and heart to at some point inhabit their body and mind and then completely possess. Somebody who is so open to being loved and worshiped by the whole world that Satan would say, ah, that's my entree to that person's life. So he has to have a candidate. So, yeah, I think Antichrist really could be alive today. So that's part of the spirit of Antichrist. Hey, we're going to do another topic next time with the Vintage Truth Podcast. Until then, please go check out Jeff Kinley Live, my new TV show on hischannel.com. It's called Jeff Kinley Live. 30 minutes, Bible prophecy, nothing else. And it's rocking. We're having a blast over there. So go check it out at hischannel.com. Hey, thank you guys for loving this ministry and supporting it. I'll talk to you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.